This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Lookout Landing Podcast. We are back with a vengeance. We have been... there's Kate. The universal sound of we're back is Kate doing those weird rapper noises, but she's so good at it.
Some bee shooters, just like Migos, right?
Just like that delicious breakfast food everyone loves.
This is a callback to one of our past episodes. Thank you to our loyal listeners, the three of you who understood this joke. We love ourselves and we love our own humor. But we're here to talk about the Mariners and not necessarily Migos, although we might get to that. It's been a wild ride for the last week. They got blown out a lot. They did some blowing out. They couldn't hit. Then they decided they could hit. It's really an imitation of life, I think. We all have our ups and downs. And
the Mariners are going through that. Maybe not quite this, violent, though.
Yeah.
I mean, life does flatten out a little, I feel like, as you get older. This is like the teenage years, you know? This is like everything, nothing, everything's great, everything sucks.
Yeah, it's not a phase. This is my life. Next day, they do something completely different.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
the Mariners are cutting out like Tiger Beat posters right now, putting them all over the clubhouse.
There's a big sign, no Scott service allowed. Yeah. Stay out of a room, Dad!
But then he shows...
Poor Jay Bruce gets kicked out.
Yeah, on accident.
I do like the idea of all the Mariners having their little, like, in their lockers, just having, like, little shrines to celebrities they like. Or, like, personality quizzes. Like, which Jonas brother are you? So, yeah, that's the Mariners, basically. Today, Sunday, we're recording on Sunday the 5th. Mariners won 10-0, which was a lovely change of pace.
Oh, it felt good. It felt good.
I turned it on late, and they were already up 4-0. And I was like, nothing could possibly go wrong from this point, right? And I was thankfully validated, in large part because of Eric Swanson being really good. That was probably the biggest takeaway of on-field stuff in a while. Him and Kikuchi in their past two starts looked like the real deal, which is very refreshing given sort of the weird variance of pitchers and how weird it can go in the early stages of a career.
Yeah, staff writer Zach Gottschalk said he is slowly beginning to come around on the 2020-2021 team, which I wasn't aware was like, was he thinking about quitting? Was it,
yeah.
You know, like not just, be a Mariners fan in a couple
just
years?
Not necessarily thinking it was going to happen.
Yeah, well, I guess, okay, I see that. So,
like, the year wasn't going to happen? Like,
yeah.
Is this, like, a climate change take?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, who knows? Tomorrow is not a guarantee.
Yeah. That's a great point. You guys heard of the sun?
Life now.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Eat dessert first,
et
cetera.
Back to that sort of teenage.
Yeah.
Just discovered a very important issue, and that is the only thing that
Yeah. Yeah. The one-issue voter.
But yeah, it's great to see the pieces of the future contribute and be like, oh, you see Swanson, I think what we saw in his outing today is he gets into protracted battles with batters. Like he'll go 8 pitches, 9 pitches and not be able to put them away. So he's got to come up with that put away pitch. And it's something that you see a lot of young pitchers struggle with every time they change levels, honestly. I mean, I just watched Logan Gilbert struggle with it in his first start at Modesto. Logan Gilbert, the Mariners' 2018 first-round draft selection, just started out this year after not being able to pitch last year. He started out in A-ball in West Virginia. He was just cruising through the South Atlantic League. The Mariners made what I thought was kind of a surprising decision to move him up really quickly. So he made his first start in Modesto the other night. And he looked pretty good, but you could see stuff that had worked in West Virginia was not working against the batters he was facing in, I forget who they were playing, the Rockies affiliate, I think. I'll remember who they are in a sec. But anyway, you could see he'd get to like 2 balls and then, or 2 strikes, and then he wasn't able to like just blow his fastball by anymore. He had to come up with... And what happened was a really interesting changeup developed. So he started throwing this changeup, and he was able to throw it for strikes. And those are the adjustments that they have to make. Eric Swanson is doing those adjustments right now against MLB hitters and, like, before all of our eyes. So it's – I imagine it's very stressful. But I thought he looked really solid today.
It's mostly the good and the bad that we expected for him, or that we've seen with a little bit more of a tinge towards still executing enough, because when you're a guy with an excellent fastball and not necessarily the great secondaries, a lot of the time that can peg you for bullpen. But Swanson...
And I will admit that I did see, like, a future where he was maybe a bullpen piece.
Yeah, and that still could happen, which would be a disappointment, but for...
But he's still the theoretical second piece in the trade, right?
Yes, for Paxton's return. And he'll have to continue refining the slider and the changeup, and we saw a fair number of changeups today. None of them particularly impressive, but the fastball is... You know, when it's 93 to 95 and it's getting a ton of pop-ups and flyouts, you know, you can go six innings.
Right.
And you can give up, you know, somewhere in the 1-4 runs. That'll work, you know.
Or you can give up no runs.
Like you did today. And one hit. And a no-hitter through six? Or, yeah. Well, through five.
Most low-key no-hitter.
Yeah, at what point did you guys realize he was throwing a no-hitter?
When it ended.
Yeah, when it ended.
when they said that was the first hit, that was like, oh, I didn't even realize.
I will say, it helps when it was 10-0 after the third? Or after the fourth?
The fifth, I think.
It was not a game already, and then it just also happened. Swanson was dominating, so... Yeah,
I think he was definitely a little less afraid to throw in the zone.
Right.
Because
of the lead.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And so we've seen him now be very good against Cleveland twice. We saw him struggle last time against the Rangers. John, what did you see as the difference? What do you think the difference is between those two starts? Why did he get lit up so badly against the Rangers versus Cleveland? I tried to look into this a little to see if, like, are the Rangers a more aggressive team than Cleveland? Do they swing at stuff in the zone more often? And really, that didn't hold up, so...
I think if a few of the key actors involved are a big issue, right? Like, even though the Rangers are, you know, a mixed bag offensively, they still have a good offensive team, and they have a lot of guys who all they need to do is make contact to do damage. Like, Joey Gallo strikes out a lot. But Joey Gallo strikes out a lot because he's swinging to put the ball in the third deck. And he puts the ball in the third deck a lot, especially when the ball's in the zone. And any player, you know, a team like Cleveland, which has a lot of contact-oriented guys, as well as not a very good offense, if we're being completely honest, that's a team that's going to more, you know, on the aggregate, they're going to struggle against a guy like Swanson and a guy like Mike Leake, even.
Right. I think it's very telling that a lot of our losses to Cleveland were by one run.
Really. Yeah, yeah. Leak didn't have an amazing start, but he had a perfectly fine start this weekend. I mean,
he had a very Mike Leake start.
Yeah,
it was peak Mike Leake.
Yeah,
peak
Leake. All three starters the Mariners had this series were guys whose sort of the first thing you would say about them is they pitch in the zone a lot. Kikuchi's that way. Kikuchi has probably the best stuff of all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the slider is an actual wipeout pitch, but all of them are in the zone a lot. And when you're against a team like the Rangers, who have the power to back it up, even though you're going to get a lot of... You'll get more shutouts, I think, you know, just because no one's hitting the ball for the Rangers. But you'll also get some 10-run games. Cleveland's going to win a lot of, you know, 3-2 games.
Right, yeah. Held up by their pitching, which has been pretty excellent, and we were very lucky not to.
Didn't face one Trevor Bauer today. Yay! Yeah, just exclusively got... absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and not only did we not face Trevor Bauer, we essentially got a net positive in play and improvement from Trevor Bauer the series, because, as was highlighted in a Seattle Times story, Yusei Kikuchi and Trevor Bauer, they have sort of developed a relationship, having talked now a couple times through Justin Novak, the Mariners translator.
The real MVP of this team.
Absolutely. I mean, just like, you know, and Bauer is such a fascinating is the word that I think is always the case when it comes up, because he's very polarizing at best in interpersonally, but like in the pure baseball sense, like nobody is more sort of dedicated to I need to find out the way to perfect this pitch, and I will find my style, and I will do anything, and I will listen to and try anything that anyone credibly is suggesting. And I will, anyone who wants to ask for help, I will also help, which is really cool. And I wish a lot of the other things about him weren't the case, because it would make it...
He would make him really interesting. He would be my favorite player in MLB.
Well, but
you want to see Kikuchi... It's very cool to see a guy like, you say, Kikuchi, who has great stuff, but needs to still continue improving, seek out a guy like that who can help him and maybe can be a more chill person otherwise.
Right.
And per his rules, we have to stop talking about Trevor Bauer now because we can't get too attached.
That's very true.
That's one of the things he laid out. And we're actually not allowed to be on social media, so this is going to be tough to promote this podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean, Trevor, he did tell us, to his credit, he put those rules out there. So we know what we're getting into. I also, Cleveland is so funny to me because, like, we've played them now, like, 6 or 7 times. And every time I'm like, Carlos Gonzalez is on this team.
It's
and, like,
weird.
They had Hanley Ramirez on purpose for a little bit. Like, it's so funny to realize this is, like, the team that, like, is probably going to win the Central. Now it's interesting with Kluber being out. But, like, this is their team and they're okay with it. Like, playing
what
Carlos Gonzalez
guy's, like,
every
name
day.
Loop now?
Luplo?
Luplo?
Yeah.
Jordan, like, Luplo.
Yeah, that is not a name. Like, that.
Mike Freeman was their starting shortstop for, like, multiple games. Yeah. Like, Lindor's back and he's still there.
Yeah,
like,
and Jose Ramirez is hitting, like, .188.
Yeah.
Like, and they're still, like, in decent shape. It's crazy.
The AL Central, man. It's a wild place.
At least the Twins are finally doing something to start off here. Shout out Nelson Cruz.
Yes.
Heard of him.
Should we talk about the offense a little bit? Because the offense did explode today, and that was awesome to see.
Yeah, thank you, Cody Anderson, who is not a starter.
Yes, no, and not an opener either.
Maybe not a pitcher.
I think their best pitching performance today, there's an argument that it was Kevin Plawecki.
It absolutely was Kevin Plawecki. But it was also, like, I think the Mariners, like, we're trying to get on this plane. Let's just get through this.
Which, the Cubs were not as nice when they were in town, and we were throwing position players out there in blowouts. The Cubs were like, no, let me pad the stat sheet here a little bit.
Which is what I would want to do, for sure. I'd be taking pitches. Like, I would really just wait until that one that's 65 down the middle. But the Mariners, I think he threw 6 pitches and they were all strikes. So the Mariners were just getting their hacks in.
Yeah, I appreciate that, I guess. He was not the worst position pitcher.
No, definitely not.
He basically threw, like, 2 Ephuses to Tim Anderson and broke his bat on one of them.
Yeah.
Like,
It was entertaining to see.
That's what you want from position player pitcher.
It's always such a thing, too, because you don't want to strike out against the guy, right? But you also, I think, shouldn't want to... You don't get anything for homering. Like, it goes into your stat sheet or whatever, but...
Can help you in arbitration.
Yeah. I mean, this is money for these guys. But we did take advantage. The Mariners did take advantage of some subpar pitching today. A bullpen day for Cleveland, where they were basically like, "We don't really need this game."
Have a Dan Otero.
For 4 innings. It was encouraging to see guys swinging the bat a little better. I have been concerned about, I believe I recapped yesterday's performance.
Congrats.
Yeah, which was not fun to watch. And I wrote, I think, a pretty dull recap about it because it was a dull game because they just didn't do anything.
Yeah, that was kind of the theme until today, was just them not doing anything. Like, they had the blowout win against the Rangers, and then they just decided to go on autopilot, it seemed like.
Well, they scraped out the win on the, was Justice Sheffield's start, where they had to kind of pull hard to pull out that victory
That was the one where it ended on that weird fielder's choice that was dropped.
Mitch Haniger, like, beat the crap out of the ball, and the fielder just couldn't handle it. Which was, I felt like an unsatisfying way to win
a walk-off. One of the weirdest walk-offs I've ever seen.
Yes. And that was maybe the sign of some trouble ahead, and then they just got absolutely drubbed. Like, the bats just fell asleep. And then through the first 2 games at Cleveland... Who are you concerned about in the lineup? Let's maybe, like, try to do a little troubleshooting. Who's struggling? Maybe we could rank them on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being, like, all systems go, and 5 being, like, Danger Ranger.
Should we go? Should we go the whole lineup? I mean, we can go because the guys are doing fine. We can go quick, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Let's do it. Let's start with Narvaez. Let's start at catcher. How do we feel?
Good.
I think he looks good.
I think he looks good. He's still taking pitches. Swing.
Like yeah. He tries to do the same thing every time, which is just hit a deep fly ball, which is great. Yeah. And he does take a lot of pitches. Like he's really leaning into the walk or hit it over the fence thing.
I'm astonished he's somehow leading the AL. I think it's maybe all catchers, but it's at least the AL of catchers in hits because he walks so much. Like as you were saying, I mean, we have plenty of issues with his defense beyond just the framing, like in just the traditional sense, like his arm is not terrible, but his arm is not great and he's not quick. Like people have been stealing. Wild.
He did have a caught stealing in Saturday's game.
Yes, Jose Ramirez tried to take third for some reason.
Why?
But like I think, he maybe only has like two or three caught stealing. Like it's been rough.
Yeah.
But
I in fact looked up to see if that was his first because
this has to be a mistake.
But at the plate, I mean, just very very sad. Like no concerns. He has looked like the anti-Zunino that we were promised.
And is
like,
so much more useful than to this team than Alex Colomé.
Like, now and Narvaez in the future. Narvaez is fourth among all catchers with .9 FWAR. He's trailing just behind Grandal and Contreras, who are tied with 1.1. And then, of course, Real Muto has 1.3.
God, he's very good.
He's very good. But
I'm
Omar
so glad
has,
the Astros don't have him.
Omar has the lowest strikeout rate of all of them.
Impressive.
And a pretty decent, one of the higher walk rates. Only Wilson Contreras is higher. So, you know, not bad.
No concern
should I,
here.
Should I see where old Mike Zunino falls
no,
on the list?
No, leave him alone. We'll do that first base. Let's go to first base.
All right.
That's like when you go to your ex's like social media on purpose to make yourself sad. It's like you can just log off, Kate.
All right.
Okay, so Edwin Encarnacion / Daniel Vogelbach. I mean, could we just lump them together? The full time.
It's
first
a very
stage.
Large lump, but
it's a good looking lump. I'm cool with them. I haven't seen anything to give me pause, really. I mean, Vogelbach's not going to lead the world in hitting forever, but, like, he might, I guess. And, it, like, when he cools down, it'll bring him back to just, like, a still good spot. Like, he already has such a, like, lead, you know what I mean? Where, like, when he does regress, it'll be to, like, still a pretty decent hitter, which is more than we could have asked for, in my opinion, because this has all just been gravy. No Vogelbach. Gravy pun intended. I do not mean he is literal gravy.
Yeah, it's been nice to see Encarnacion heat up a little bit after he got off to such a slow start in spring training.
Yeah.
It looked real rough there for a while. And then even, I think, over the first month of the season, it's been a very slow build.
It's been inconsistent, right? Because, like, that's sort of... A lot of the offense has been so homer dependent that, like, when they haven't hit homers, it's been rough. And, like, outside of that, maybe opening series against the Red Sox. But Encarnacion, I mean, he hit another homer today, and he hit a homer yesterday. Like, he is just been, like, unbelievably steady. It's cool to have essentially the best first baseman that the Mariners have had. In a decade, right? If we're thinking about it like that, like they have essentially three of the best first basemen they've had in a decade at the same time,
right?
If we add in Jay Bruce, but like, yeah, I mean, Encarnacion just by FWAR again is top 10 in FWAR for first baseman. Like, he's been so solid, and I think that he's looked like the Edwin Encarnacion that was great for the Blue Jays, and I think that when the Mariners decide. They're going to really start pushing trades. I think they will actually be able to get some sort of return for him, especially when you look at teams like Boston, who just got Joey Curletta, unfortunately, from the Mariners and the Miners, but have had very little offensive production and are still trying to compete. And they're working with Mitch Moreland at the first base sort of DH spot. Like, there are going to be teams out there who need a hitter, and that was the gamble that the Mariners made, and it was frustrating that they couldn't get that in the offseason, but that's it's looking good.
Maybe they'll get more.
Whether that was a conscious choice or whether that's just worked out, it is seeming to work out right now.
And Vogelbach, I mean, I feel like the more repetitions that he's gotten like, Vogelbach isn't just a slugger. Like, he's a hitter, and he goes up there, and he's not going to just flail away at whatever. He will make the pitcher work, and he will take his walk, and he'll go stand on first base.
Yeah, I think he gets typecast for sure, but he's definitely way more than just a guy who, like, hits dingers.
Yeah, so both of those guys, I mean, Encarnacion, I feel like, is more streaky. Like, if I had to choose in a tight spot between sending up Encarnacion and sending up Vogelbach, I would probably send up Vogelbach.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's swing over to second base. We've got D.
Can I say just really quick before? I think that another point that is maybe in this particular lineup's favor is that they've started hitting Vogelbach third, and they've essentially started hitting him ahead of Encarnacion and Bruce, who are the, I would say, two most likely people to not make Vogelbach have to run.
Yes, which is true.
Like, it's funny, but it's also, like, that's the best possible way of doing it, right? Because, like, he does walk so much,
right,
and that's a run that's out there, but it's
right.
The best way to make him a run is to let him jog.
Put it over the fence.
Yeah.
He has a 21% walk rate right now.
Damn, yeah, that's like,
crazy.
And a 21% strikeout rate.
Yeah,
the exact same.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he struck out once and walked once today, right?
Yep.
So it's still identical.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, that seems right.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
Anyways, D. Gordon.
All right, on to second, D. Gordon. Unless you wanted to do Jay Bruce as part of the
first
base.
No, we'll just go around.
We've said enough about Jay Bruce.
I want to talk a little bit more about him, but we can do that.
All right, we'll swing around to D. Gordon then. D, having healthy D is so much nicer to watch than hurt D.
Yeah.
Big if true.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back at the top of the lineup and not feel like that's a sunk spot, you know?
Yeah. I hope that they will return him back to the bottom once Malix returns, because the ideal for the theoretical production that Malix can bring in terms of just getting on base, like, we're not going to see D out OBP Malix.
No, probably not.
And so,
I mean, currently, yes.
Currently, yes. But Malix has been worse than he really has ever been. and I think that D's skill set is so good at the bottom of the lineup just because of how well he, you know, puts pressure on people and can get the ball in play. But, I mean, yeah. Like, he's been the best defensive player on the team, which is not saying much, but...
No, but it's value, and he's already been worth 0.5 FWAR, which, considering it was 0.1 for all of last year, is impressive.
Yeah, and the 294 average is fun. I mean, he still is kind of the low on base percentage. He doesn't like walking, clearly. He does everything fast, so he can't walk. But, like, 294 is fine. Like, that's much better than everything he was doing last year. Although he did get off to a pretty good start last year before things went south with the injury.
True.
Like, I'll take 294 from D. Gordon.
A sub 5% walk rate is unideal, but when you compare it to the 1.5% from last year, again, everything across the boards was all he has to do is, like, hit a single and get on base. Yeah, and he's pulled up some pretty clutch singles, RBI singles too. So
he's better than his career average.
I have no complaints about D. Gordon right now.
Yeah.
Let's move to shortstop, Tim Beckham.
Yeah. Mm. It's a weird experience.
The Tim Beckham experience is a weird experience.
Yeah, just from the way it started, like, it was so, like, almost surreal that he was hitting this well. And obviously, like, we knew it wasn't going to last forever. But I think to see it go so sharply the other way has been tough. And, like, he's still at, like, 286, 351, 555.
Yeah. John, I think John wanted us to maybe take a guess at something. He was desperately covering up my computer screen here.
Well,
what
I
did
was,
you want us
I
to
was,
guess
well,
at?
I was going to have it because I was feeling similarly to how you were, Matthew, about, like, man, he's been really rough lately.
Uh-huh.
Like, I wonder how far his WRC plus has fallen. Like,
because it was like 140 or something at the beginning of the year, right?
What do you think it is right now?
I literally just looked at it.
Yeah, I know you did.
Okay. I don't know.
It's 145.
Oh, really?
Right now. Like,
oh, that's 20 points higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah. So,
wow.
I mean,
okay.
The back of the 202.
Yeah. I mean, the team's been really good. I, like, you know, to bring it a little bit beyond us, you know, obviously we are looking at Fangraphs pages, but, like, he's taken that little bit of a step back, but he's still making, you know, impact contact, is right. I guess how I would think about it. Like, he's striking out a lot.
30%, which is a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's not exactly a career high because he struck out 30.9% with the Rays in 2015, but yeah, it's not ideal.
But he's getting the ball in the air. He's hitting the ball hard. He's not getting cheated. Sometimes he's whiffing, but like, he's hitting enough to make up for his defense right now. And
which is pretty brutal.
Yes.
That's been the biggest concern.
Yeah, I think he's someone who has a great shot to slip a ways, but I think he'll still continue to be an above average hitter this year. Just because he's putting enough hurt on the ball when he does make contact.
Right.
So I would say I expect less from Tim Beckham going forward, but he's not been a huge issue.
Right, and now they've moved him down in the order, too, which makes it a little easier to stomach. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not hitting fourth. You don't have to rely on him to be the cleanup guy. He's a seventh or eighth hitter, which is fine. Like, that's what we expected.
With him, you're not talking about a long-term piece for the team, right? So, I just got a notification that J.P. Crawford has doubled in the bottom of the eighth.
Oh, yeah.
And Ian Miller hit a solo home run. So, that's how things are going in Tacoma today.
Shouts.
All right, on to third base, which I guess technically we have to talk about Ryan Healy, but Ryan Healy's out right now with a groin strain, so...
Yeah, very mysterious. Ryan literally just disappeared on Friday. He was in the game, and then he just wasn't in the game, and there was, like, a lot of mystery around it for a couple innings, but groin tightness was, I believe, the official word on Ryan. I
hate to see it.
You really do.
Healy, it's very... His entire approach has improved from last year. And the results have borne that out. He's literally got essentially the same BABIP as last year, and he's just getting better results. He's walking more, he's striking out less, he's hitting for more power. But it's not quite been enough, and he has improved at third base. He's not a realistic third baseman.
He's not a third baseman. He's been better than I think I dreaded he would be over there.
But for
playing out of position, I think he's doing fine.
But I think that the problem, not the problem, but the thing is, we've seen now after years of terrible first baseman, right? We're seeing actual good first baseman in Encarnacion and Vogel. Well, Vogelbach's not really a first baseman, but. And even in Bruce, like, all these guys are out hitting him and can play first base if in a pinch. And I don't know what Healy's spot is going forward. I think he is the guy who goes down to Tacoma.
I think there's
we've been seeing that for a while.
I think there's a very real possibility, unless he's going to have to come back from whatever this is and hit his way into the lineup, I think. And I don't know if he can do it or not.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the versatility. Like, he's a guy who, unless there's a trade in the next couple of weeks before or right as Seager gets back, he's the odd guy out, and he's also the only guy with an option left, which means he can go down to Tacoma and play there, and that'll be fine because Scarletta's gone.
So there's space for him.
But, I mean, there's only so much you can do with a 250 BABIP because you pull the ball every time you hit it, and the defense knows it, and so anytime you hit it on the ground, it's an out.
Yep.
He got a 296 OBP.
Yeah.
Which is better than last year's, but sub-3 is a tough luck.
last year it was... I mean, this year he's at least walking... Like, if you're walking 8% of the time, you can be okay.
Right.
But... You know, it's not great, but it's fine. But the way that his entire profile is set to hit the ball really hard and pull the ball. And he's hitting in the air now, and that means that turns it into homers sometimes. But that's not going to happen enough right now for it to balance out every ground ball being, like, there is no greater double play risk than Ryan Healy.
Yeah, right? I think that's an important point because he seems like he'd be the easiest player to prepare for. Like, you know exactly how to get Ryan Healy out. You know what he's going to do before you see him. Like, I imagine that's a very quick meeting when they're talking to the pitchers about dealing with Healy.
He has had an improved approach at the plate, and he's not chased as much junk, and I think that's been really helpful for him.
Yeah. That's a good lesson for everyone in their 20s. Don't go chasing junk.
Don't go chasing junk. All right, let's swing around to the outfield then, because I have things to say about the outfield.
Yeah.
Let's start with the good part of the outfield. Let's start with the Mitch Haniger part. It's solid.
Still
it's,
same old Mitch.
Is he?
Well,
is he?
There's been some concern. He seems like he's striking out a lot. I don't know. I'm going to look at the numbers now, if it's more or less than last year. But
I believe it's slightly up from last year.
But like the production is still mostly there.
Yeah.
Like,
he's essentially just been hitting for a little bit more power and striking out a little bit more.
Yeah, the average has dipped. Because of the, yeah, like you said, he's striking out more and walking slightly less than he did last year.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, 500 slugging.
Mitch is fine. You know, Mitch is fluctuating Mitch. A tiny bit, but Mitch will probably have a stretch where he walks a fair amount and strikes out a little less and doesn't hit for as much power, and it'll mostly be that 125 to 140 WRC plus, and it'll be a four-win player, and it's...
I think he got out of rhythm a little bit. Some of those plate appearances look terrible over the past... You know, and I mean, it coincides with the downturn of the team, because I think if Mitch Haniger isn't hitting, then... that's a good way to sink the offense pretty quickly, because so much of it is predicated on him doing damage at the top of the lineup. So it's really tough to see him go down on some of the ugly strikeouts. That I'm really going to be watching that strikeout rate to get back to where it's been.
Yeah.
But I also think that Haniger knows himself and he knows his swing really well, and I think maybe he's been a little off time. He's been a little late on the fastball lately, and it looks like he's maybe got some of that timing back. So maybe he's just kind of getting back in the groove. Today was definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, two walks and a dinger.
Yep, and he had the only very few hits that happened on Saturday. He had a single and a home run. So Mitch is solid. We don't worry about Mitch. I am worried about Domingo Santana. I'm worried a lot. I really hate that, but he has been real bad. I went and looked up his ground ball rate, and it has skyrocketed.
Yeah, that's not what you want from Domingo, who can hit accidental home runs if the ball's in the air.
Yeah, it just really seems... do you think he might be pressing at the plate? Like, he knows that he's definitely struggling in the field. We've seen some...
Which could be affecting his hitting. I'm sure it's not a fun headspace to be in.
No, I mean, and he's had some sort of cryptic posts on Instagram that are, you know, very, like...
Just log off, guys.
It's very, like, you know, the challenges. I think he personally is feeling some pressure, and he's not
putting
up to...
Do you think he's being pressured, or do you think he's putting pressure
on himself? I don't think
so.
I think he's the kind of guy who puts pressure on himself. He has high expectations, and I think that this is very much a prove-it year for him. He wants to be great. He wants to prove to the Brewers that not only did they, like, underutilize him, they undervalued him by letting him go in exchange for Ben Gamel. Bless his heart, but Ben Gamel.
And Noah Zavolas.
And Noah Zavolas, who is a really interesting person, but a very low-level pitcher. So I think...
Low-ass, you might say.
He's a tall guy.
You can be a tall guy with a low ass. Some weird torso proportions in baseball.
I guess so. So Domingo, I think, does have some internally created pressure. I do think that he's not in a great headspace right now with the struggles in the field, this pressing at the plate. I am concerned, though, because I don't know Domingo Santana. I know Mitch Haniger by now. I know that Haniger can get himself out of a slump. Yeah. I don't know how Domingo Santana responds to adversity.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It's just so, everything about this season is so new, and they're dealing with the new coaching staff, new environments. Like, everything is just different. So, like, maybe when he was with the Brewers, he had some coach or something he would do when he was in a slump, and now that's gone, so that makes things tougher.
Yeah. The one of the things I remember is that the Santana mentioned that when the Mariners first acquired him, they had some variety of, like, analytical observations that they had made that they wanted to show him, that they were saying, this is something we think you can do to improve what you're doing. I don't know whether he's gotten away from that or whether teams have adjusted. It's a little bit hard to tell just in the past, like, week and a half, but, you know, his he has... It's a poor way to fully draw conclusions to just watch highlight reels, but like when you watch the highlights of Domingo Santana from years past, he is clobbering the ball in the air to left field or left center, and that's not the only way you want him to get results. I mean, he's done a really good job driving the ball to right field, to drive the ball to right center. That's something that's been really impressive about him. He has not pulled the ball in the air hardly at all in the past couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he has had pitches that he could that he do damage on, and he's not been. So, it's been a dip. And obviously the defense is a mess, but there's only so much you can do about that, and it's whatever. But if he's hitting, I mean, he's still, you know, been an above-average hitter this year. It's just that he's even striking out less than he was last year. I mean, he's striking out less than he ever has, but he's just got to do a little bit more damage and get the bat out a little bit more in front of the plate so he's not hitting the ball on the ground so much. And I think they'll make an adjustment with him. He sat today, right?
Right.
Did not play.
Yeah.
You also wonder maybe if it was like too much too soon. He had 3 home runs in the first 4 games and has 3 since then. Yeah. So like, I don't know. Part of me is like, oh, maybe if you start that hot, you think that's going to be you or that's your season. And then when it goes south, you start to like, you think it's worse than it really is. You know what I mean? It's back to that teenage thing where it's like one little thing that goes wrong. You start to think this is my entire life now. This is my self-worth. Everything is trash. It's like, no, just like do the things you used to do that were working and made you happy, but that's obviously much easier said than done.
His plate discipline numbers still look good, you know? He's swinging less at pitches outside the zone. He's swinging more at pitches in the zone. He's making contact when he does swing outside the zone, like 48 up to 65% this year. Mm-hmm. Making contact in the zone about 5% more than last year. So, and his swinging strike rate is down 5 points from 15 to 10. So I think there's a lot to like there. There's a lot that the number, now that I've looked at the numbers, I feel less sort of panicky about. It's just weird to see somebody who took such good at-bats initially. It was like, oh, Domingo Santana is coming up. He's going to work a long at-bat. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a pitch he can drive. It's going to be a professional at-bat. And now he's like up there. It's just hack, hack, hack. So it's an approach problem, I think. Hopefully the day off will have reset him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still not ready to completely panic, but it has been cause for concern, I would say.
Well, and this year, hot start notwithstanding, the theory for this year is to give these guys the chance to fail and succeed and learn. And that's what this is here for. So hopefully,
and we're seeing a lot of failing.
We're seeing a lot of
trying new things.
Trial and error and error and error and error and error.
Yeah. I think that how this team adjusts is as good of a way as we can have to measure the coaching staff, as well as 100%. Anything, for how well can they discover issues and help guys adjust to.
I continue to be a big Tim Laker believer. I would really like to read more with him. I'm hoping that some of our beat reporters do a little more in-depth talking with him, because I would really like to know more about his discipline and his philosophy and his approach. So then we've got Centerfield.
Good boy.
Hey, Braden Bishop had his first MLB hit today.
Yeah, had some RBI too. Yeah,
and two hits and some pretty
hit the ball hard on the first at bat too when Lindor robbed him.
He did, and I saw a post game interview with him, and he said that he thought he was like, oh, after I got robbed, he's like, I'll never get that hit.
These are teenagers. This tracks. This totally tracks. No one loves me.
I'll never get a hit.
Yeah. It's like, Braden, you're up again in like 2 innings, man.
Yeah.
Relax.
So once you get the first hit, I think it's like a little easier to relax.
Totally.
I think his plate discipline looks good. Like, he's a credible major leaguer.
And he hits like hard line drives. That's what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Like, all of his at-bats today, when he made contact, they were like, there's one at Lindor that was hit hard. There were some solid singles. He went the other way. So, yeah, I mean, he's... For as long as Malik Smith is down, I'm totally okay with Braden Bishop. doing the learn on the job thing that we just talked about.
Yeah, that had 103 contact on that that ball to Lindor.
That was the exit velocity?
Yeah, 103 exit velocity. And then his, at least one of his singles was 91.5.
Yeah, like, there's no concern with Braden Bishop. Like, I'm not expecting him to be a 600 hitter. Like, he can just do whatever Braden Bishop does, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, his defense is going to be fine no matter what, which is why I'm happy to have him out there every day.
It's just... also... I'm curious to see him over this next series, because I believe... It may be weird now, because the Yankees have Paxton hurt, unfortunately... Well, not specifically.
Yeah, not unfortunately for us.
Not unfortunately for the Mariners, but unfortunately for James Paxton. Yes. Yeah, like
get well,
him.
Buddy.
There were going to be a lot of lefties in the lineup, or not in the lineup, but in the schedule for the Mariners. So that was, I think, something that they mentioned was Bishop's going to start a lot, especially against the lefties. That may not be the case as much, but I mean, like, they played Jay Happ and whoever. I literally at CC Sabathia, so
yeah,
we'll see more Bishop, which would be good. And I hope we get at least a little more chance to see him work against Major League pitching. But
I'd almost want to, like, no matter who it is, if it's like a tough pitcher, I'd kind of want Braden Bishop to be out there. Like, if they have to face Chris Sale in Boston, just fucking start Braden Bishop. Like, why not?
Why not?
Give him a chance to see the best of the best. Yeah.
Exactly.
Although I will say, Malik Smith has not looked better this year than when he was facing Chris Sale.
It's a great point.
That's like, true. Extremely broken Chris Sale, I think.
It was very weird. But what,
it was a very broken Boston team that I don't think we're going to see this year.
Double homer and like a ball to the fence or something. Yeah. Super weird. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'm going to have an interview with Logan Gilbert up this week on the site. Yes. He's very nice.
It was cool.
But he talked about, I asked him about making his first MLB start, or making his first start, and having it be against Cleveland, against MLB hitters in spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, did I miss something?
No. This was in spring training. It was his very first professional appearance.
Yeah,
I see.
And it was against Cleveland.
Yeah, he didn't pitch at all last year, right?
Yeah. So I asked, like, you know, that must have been really hard. And he was like, well, you know, it's honestly really good to get a feel for what the best guys are.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of sets your expectations. Like, okay, this is what I'm used to, and this is the upper end of it, and this is how far I have to go to get to where I need to be.
Because
you have to understand, like, what the upper limit looks like so that you can measure yourself against it. And so anyway, I agree with you. I think they're going to be learning at bats, not just for Bishop, but for some of our other rookies, you know, Vogelbach. And
I think that's a really good point, too, because it's not something that a lot of people encounter on a day-to-day basis of you are facing the world's best people at the thing you do, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know for myself, it's very easy to be like, well, I'm decent at this thing, so I don't, like, need to necessarily work that much at it. Yeah. And, like, if I were faced with someone who was unbelievably good at it, like, one, that would be great context, but two, like, I might just be like, well, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. But, like, most of the people who are professional athletes and professional baseball players, the reason that they are there is because they have that level of competition or competitiveness to say, I want to be better than everyone that I'm playing against. And so I think that's really cool that he feels that way and that he got that opportunity, and that Julio Rodriguez got that opportunity, that Jared Kelnick got that opportunity, that Shed Long, J.B. Crawford, that all these guys,
and I'm sure
essentially,
wherever he is
Justin
right
Dunn
now,
got a bunch of looks. Yeah,
I'm sure wherever he is right now, Braden Bishop is saying the same thing. Like, he's probably looking forward to that New York trip and, like, very anxious to
Yankee Stadium and Fenway.
The lights do not get brighter.
And, you know, whether it works out or not, you know, for one or many of these guys, I mean, I think that's the right way to go about it, is to give them a sense of what they need to become and then say, all right, go, you know, this is what we're hoping you can beat.
Yeah. I will say it's very relaxing to have balls hit to center field and
that's an out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
That's gonna be caught, and I don't have to worry about this anymore.
Do we think that who do we think gets traded, I guess more likely to be traded and or traded first among Jay Bruce or Edwin Encarnacion?
Encarnacion, I think.
Yeah, I think Bruce's versatility and being left-handed kind of helps in just wanting to have him for longer. I think Encarnacion is definitely the first to go because he's the one that has, like, he's easily replaceable with this team.
I mean, they'll trade whoever fetches the highest price. Like, mm-hmm. I think they view the two of them as interchangeable, and this mm-hmm. year as kind of like a whatever year.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, as fucked up as this is to say, like, they're probably kind of waiting around for someone to get injured on another team. Like, if another team's first baseman or DH gets hurt, then it's like, oh, we have Edwin Encarnacion.
I'm surprised the Yankees, honestly, haven't come.
The A's are playing Kendrys Morales. Yeah,
they sure are.
They went out of their way to get Kendrys Morales because Matt Olson got hurt.
Yeah.
They chose that life.
That is a choice. Yeah,
the Yankees are rocking that Mike Ford life.
Some bad baseball. Yeah, Mike Ford. Who, you know, we love us some Mike Ford. But, like, you're not going to maybe get to the playoffs with Mike Ford as your first baseman as much as you would with Edwin Encarnacion as your first baseman.
Yeah. The A's, I believe, just managed to lose a game in extra innings where they were up 2 with bases loaded. In the top of the inning, and then literally 6 batters later, the Pirates had won
via a
walk-off, which was fantastic, because go Pirates.
Yes, go Pirates.
And also, I'm
very surprised at that, but...
Yeah. Also, Blake Trinan has an elbow issue.
He sure does.
Not barking at him. Again, is not, like, good, but is just like, hey, if you have a very thin sort of situation...
Yeah, their good luck from last year seems to be evaporating into sewage.
They just did nothing to improve their pitching staff, and they are waiting around for Luzardo to come up or whatever. And what are we looking at?
John is showing us they lost today. Fernando Rodney took the L.
Oh, gave up a walk-off home run. Wow.
Yeah.
And it was a 3-run walk-off, so they were winning at the time.
I did see a lot of people complaining about Fernando Rodney, but, you know, by this point...
Such is life.
Yeah. I'm immune to that.
I've had
that disease. Yeah, exactly. I just... My brain, as, like, a self-defense mechanism, sees his name and just automatically shuts off.
Okay, before we welcome our very special guest, we want to go to Twitter questions just real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a question from one of our own, Young Bongos, Grant Bronsden. Grant wants to know what would happen at a Mariners karaoke night and a Mariners day at the beach, especially given that it's about to be in the 80s this weekend.
What?
Like Mike Trout, Grant is fascinated by weather. It's one of many things they have in common. Mariners karaoke night is actually something that I would really love to see happen.
Oh my God.
I think we're going to get a lot of country because this is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think my highlight would be the Spanish-speaking players doing like Latin songs, things like that. I'd want like a slow Mark Anthony song from Felix. I don't know if he listens to that, but that's what I'd want to see. I'm sure some of them would try to do like Bad Bunny rap songs, which would be hilarious.
I believe Felix has a karaoke machine at his house.
How do you know that?
His wife on Instagram, there's a lot of... It's always Instagram. Anyway, and also he lives in like a palace in Miami, so of course it has an... I think all houses in Miami come equipped with a dance floor.
Yeah, Pitbull just lives there.
Pitbull just like...
He has a residency.
Elon Musk has built like a tube. Pitbull
like
bounce around.
Anytime karaoke machine is fired up, Pitbull comes from underneath the stage.
Yeah.
And also they had a karaoke machine at Spring Training. Remember? That was like a whole thing.
Oh,
Matt Festa and
some of his pals
did a Backstreet Boys thing.
Of course.
Yeah. So there has been karaoke done. And I know for a fact Jay Bruce did Friends in Low Places.
That checks.
That tracks. I would love to see, the Latin guys singing some of their songs.
I would love a Dee Malix duet. That would be beautiful.
They would probably,
Dee Malix, Tim Beckham doing like Destiny's Child or TLC.
Or En Vogue.
Yeah.
Never any gonna of get it. It, never gonna.
Oh, the harmonies? Oh, man.
I don't think any of them can sing, but obviously.
I bet
that
there's
makes
one guy
on
the Mariners who can sing.
There's definitely one guy
there's
who can sing.
There's always a sneaky guy who can sing.
Who is the guy who sneakily can sing on the Mariners, do you think?
Tom Murphy. Absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
He is very soulful.
I bet he'd be like good at opera. Like, I think he'd be good at
weird
singing.
I'm not sure he's got the pop.
Yeah. Do you think he would get up there and be like,
Yes, I kind of do, actually.
Yeah, I think you would nail Ave Maria.
I sure hope so. Okay, what about day at the beach? What's going on if the Mariners are at the beach? Do we have anyone drowning?
Building a sandcastle.
Oh my god, yeah,
he's building
totally
like six sandcastles.
And Mitch Haniger has like brought in people to build a like very historically accurate sandcastle. And Ryan has
doing just the bucket upside down. Yeah.
With like the drip towers. Yeah. Yes. And Mitch Haniger is like building
crenellations. He's like
Ryan's also like wildly sunburned.
Yes. Mitch has like the rash guard on with like full face.
I would
of
not put a sun hat past Mitch.
No, I think
they're both
good in a sun
California
hat.
Boys.
That's
so
true.
Both of them should know how to
But then I can see Ryan being like, I'm from California, I don't need sunscreen. Like, that's not how that works. Your skin is sizzling.
Coming red.
I think like D. Gordon is tossing a football around for sure.
And Mike Leake is a surfer. Like Mike Leake is surfing.
Yeah, he's absolutely surfing.
Who do we think is the best swimmer on the Mariners? Does anyone feel like they have a like swimmer's body, like that long Michael Phelps type? Domingo's
the big
long.
Shoulders.
Domingo might be the best. Yeah,
he's
Domingo's
got the broadest
a good bet.
Shoulders.
Probably Domingo.
I mean, again, Domingo. Yeah. Like, Domingo's got the long limbs.
I kind of feel Brandon Brennan. Like, he looks
good.
Oh,
like
yeah,
he looks
that's right. Pitchers are probably
pitchers
actually
have,
a good
like,
swimmer. Like,
yeah.
Sadzek also.
Yeah.
Yeah,
although, where's Sadzek from?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I also know Malix is a big, likes fishing.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Malik,
so, he likes
fishing
too.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think Florida
Connor Sadzek is from Crystal Lake, Illinois.
So there's a lake there.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I think that's about it. I mean, is there anyone that's like just not trying to get in the water whatsoever?
We'll go back his lawn chair, several beers. One of those.
I know he likes fishing as well, but I think he's a pontoon man.
He's a Florida. There are so many Florida boys on this team.
Yeah, baseball is a
Malik, Vogelbach. I mean, that's baseball, right? It's a Florida California thing. Yeah. But yeah, I would imagine all the Florida boys are like out on the boat fishing and.
Mm-hmm.
Living it up. Yeah. So, cool. We have another one from one of our own. Amanda Lane coming at Mariner Mandy. If the 2019 Mariners roster is a cocktail menu, what type of drink would each player be? We obviously don't have to do every single player, but I'm wondering if there's any that jump to mind immediately.
I feel like Omar Narvaez is something sweet. Like one of those things that just tastes like candy, kind of like a Jolly Rancher martini.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. He just seems to be like a very sweet guy and nice, and I don't know.
Okay. Wade LeBlanc is something with like Southern comfort, like a SoCo and lemonade.
A Sazerac.
What is
Louisiana.
A Sazerac?
It's a Louisiana cocktail.
Oh, he's definitely that.
Yeah.
That one was a
He's not as wild as a Hurricane, which has like 50 different types of alcohol in it. Yeah. But yeah, I think. It's a little bit of a classy, refined, very classic drink. So that's
not quite as stilted as a mint julep.
I had my first mint julep ever yesterday.
They're good.
They're super good.
I think they're hurt by their reputation, right? Like,
no, they're delicious.
No, they're great. I mean, it's just like the reputation is that they come in a very prim and proper sort of.
I was wearing a floppy hat.
When I lived in Philly, there was a place where you could get frozen mint juleps. They just crimped them out like a slushy machine.
That was the first time I ever had a Dark and Stormy. It was a Dark and Stormy slushy.
The slushy
which I've been
machine.
Trying to think of. I feel like,
you could. That seems pretty baseball, too.
The slushy
alcohol. Is a slushy.
The slushy alcohol is a big deal in the South.
It makes sense. It's hot as fuck.
Yes. Yeah. And Savannah doesn't have open container laws, so you can just go in there.
I thought you were
going
to say air conditioning.
No, damn. It's the South. It's not 1800 there. So you can go and get your like giant cup of slushy alcohol and then just like walk around with it. But also the streets are cobblestone, so I feel like it's a little bit of a fuck you from the city.
Like an obstacle course.
Yeah, exactly. That slushy will be on the ground. At
it's self selecting public intoxication enforcement, right? I mean, like if you can hold up,
you can hold your.
If you can hold your open container, you're good.
They are smart. So I feel like Hunter Strickland is our Southern boy.
God, I forgot about him.
Yes, Hunter Strickland exists. So I think I'm going to award him the Southern Boozy Slushy just as a... That makes not sense. Because I think he's trashy, and the Booze Slushy is a little bit trashy.
It is very trashy.
But just as a nod to his Southern hair. Of course. Maybe he could be the mint julep. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I'm into that. Ryan Healy is just a Shirley Temple. No alcohol.
Extra cherries, please. Yeah.
Swarzak is a Four Loko mixed with another Four Loko.
Mitch Vinegar
screaming into space. Yes. Yeah. Why have you forsaken me?
Four Loko mixed with a Red Bull injected directly into one's veins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That nobody asked for either.
Mitch Vinegar is just water.
Like, I didn't order this.
Vinegar's water. Just water.
Yeah, he's water. Yeah. Just
that's all I need. That's all my body needs.
Yeah. But he brought his own. He brought his own, like, filter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. He has a special
Mitch,
way that
Mitch
he likes
Mitch is particularly about water, I bet.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I would be, too.
Do we think Mitch could get Shedlong to drink water?
That's his new goal. Yeah, that should be his next project.
I really want to follow that and see... Anyone else who sticks out as a cocktail? We were supposed to do cocktails, and we veered... Far afield.
You never drink a Four Loko mixed with another Four Loko? That's a cocktail.
That's not, yeah. I don't even think that's legal.
The cops standing there while you're pouring. Like, don't you do it, young man.
The cops are just like, this fucking guy again.
The Four Loko bandit.
Hey, we told you before. Stop doing
that. They've got like one of those walls with string, but it's just like one dot. Yeah. Like, he's done it. It's this dude, and he's doing this.
You can track him by his snowboard trail.
Oh, and Mike Leake is a Corona.
Yeah, which is, again, not a cocktail. He could be one of those, the Coronas that's dumped upside down into a margarita. That seems like something
like
we go for.
What do they call those? Lime? Well, I don't know what they're called, but whatever, yeah.
But that's Mike Leake. Yeah. All right, well, I have to go, but I'm going to make way for our guest, who is going to come do a 10-minute preview of the Yankees series.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys. This has been great. Thanks, excellent. Everyone, for listening. Follow me on Twitter at mroberson22.
Yeah, thanks,
I got to go. Yeah, we're going to welcome a special guest from Staten Island into the booth. See ya.
All right, so here to preview... the Mariners' upcoming series against the Yankees, 4-game series. Not the Yankees you may be used to, but a challenging road trip nonetheless. Our friend from Staten Island, how you doing, my man?
Good. My name is New York Guy. I'm not going to tell you my real name. There is no reason on Derek Jeter's green earth for me to tell you my real name. There's a lot of weirdos on the internet. Also, what is this? This is a podcast. What are we doing here? People listen to this? How's this work?
Very few.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a few folks, but, you know, we do what we can. So right. How do you feel about the team this year, New York?
About the New York Yankees?
The New York Yankees.
I got 27 reasons not to be worried about the New York Yankees.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you should be worried about your little team out here. What are they doing? Who's on the team? What happened to the Italian kid, the catcher? He was a nice
Alex
kid.
Alex Liddy?
No.
Zunino,
thank you. Yeah, nice kid. Couldn't hit my eyebrows if he was standing on my nose, but he was a good kid. I got a good vibe from him.
He was extremely Italian.
That's what I'm saying. He's not on the team Italian anymore, is that correct?
We also lost John Andreoli, who's another nice Italian boy.
I went to school with 6 John Andreoli. I didn't know any of them played baseball.
Unfortunately, he's on the Rays.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah,
especially for you, New York Yankee supporter guy.
Yeah, New York guy.
I hate to antagonize you, but yeah, the Rays have jumped out really hot. Not concerned.
I'm not concerned yet. We have a lot of bad luck. I don't know why any of these trainers are still employed by the New York Yankees.
That's fair. A lot of injuries.
Your guy, who you gave us, James Paxton, is he damaged goods? What's going on there?
He'll be good. He'll be good. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries in his past. None of them very, you know, none of them lasted all that long.
Some weird ones.
My biggest concern is what's going on with his eyes. Why does he look so sad? He always looks like he saw someone pull their junk out on the subway. So he's a New Yorker already in that respect.
That's true. He's Canadian, right? I mean, I don't know that they're quite.
They live in a state of perpetual sadness.
Winter is always a moment away, and I'm not sure that he's quite used to. Well, I mean, you would know better than us the day-to-day of New York City.
It's terrible.
Greatest city on earth.
It has its ups and downs, but it's a lot of downs. You see some shit that you would never see anywhere else. But let's get back to this baseball thing. You guys watch a lot of baseball, right?
You bet.
This is correct.
That's what we're here for.
Why is this guy Giancarlo Stanton? When did he decide his name was just Giancarlo? How is that? Like, what is going on there? I thought his name was Mike. He looked like a Mike. Now he's Giancarlo. I live in New York, obviously, in Staten Island. Everyone is named Giancarlo. He doesn't look like any of them. This guy gets one gym membership, changes his name to Giancarlo. I don't know how that works.
I would think that you would embrace him.
He's appropriating Giancarlo culture. Oh. I cannot stand for this as a New Yorker.
I think it's branding, right? I mean, you know, there's a million Mikes out there. You know, everyone wants to be like Mike, right?
New Yorkers.
Well, I guess not. That's fair.
I want to be like John Starks. By the way, the listeners cannot see me. I am wearing a 1994 replica John Starks jersey. Do you know about John Starks here, Miss Kate?
It's very stained.
I wore it to every game at the Garden. Do you know about John Starks?
I can't say that.
New York Knickerbockers point guard, former grocery bagger, then he bagged the Indiana Pacers in 7 games.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm wearing his jersey. Also, this is a podcast you guys are drinking. Didn't offer me a single drink. What's going on there?
I see from the trail of drinks behind you, you perhaps prepared ahead of time.
All right, listen. I have a very specific drink order. That's the reason for the trail behind me. I want 4 Michelob Ultras poured directly into a New York Yankees fitted hat.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay. That's what I drink.
All right. 4
of them
fit size
9.5. It fits perfectly in there. Trust me. That's why I have the trail of Michelob down my back at all times.
Okay. It's good. Sort of seeps in your pores.
I was wondering what that smell
I
was.
Drink the Michelob Ultras from the hat. I put it on. It seeps down into the John Starks jersey. It's a great look. But anyway, this guy Giancarlo. Why is he doing this? I don't know if I trust him anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, he wants to establish the brand, right? He wants to be the power Giancarlo, the Giancarlo of New York. You know, he wants to speak for all of the.
He's not doing a good job.
No,
I did not want him to speak for me personally as a New Yorker.
What would you prefer?
I would prefer he goes by Mike Stanton. We had a Mike Stanton before. He was brilliant. He could be another Mike Stanton. Just I don't know if he needs to be his own self as much as he should be Mike Stanton. Because I love that guy.
Do you think it would be better if he was going by like? Stanton, you changed Stanton to Staten. So would that be a better way?
Now you're speaking my language here, Johnny. Okay. Yes, that is what I want.
Excellent.
Giancarlo Staten.
New York guy.
Yes.
Do you feel good? I mean, the Yankees have been beset by a lot of injuries this year. Not just James Paxton is the most recent, but basically, I looked at a lineup the other day and not recognize anyone.
Me too, yeah.
On it. Do you feel confident about the Yankees?
I feel as good as you can. I mean, we got to work on some things here and there. I think we got to maybe focus a little more on training. I don't know what they're doing in their free time. All these guys are hanging out.
Maybe some more stretches.
Yeah, you know, like a New York stretch. You jump onto the subway track, you jump off before it gets you. One of those. You work on your agility, you build the leg muscles.
You run, like, ladders around the third rail.
You do that. Sure, yeah, exactly. Sure. And if you step on the third rail, maybe it's good for the team. I mean, we got some guys who are pretty garbage. That's all I'm going to but this is actually.
Are you going to push Jacoby Ellsbury on the third rail?
Don't ever talk to me about Jacoby Ellsbury again. All right. That's not what I'm here for. What are we doing here? You're just going to come and make fun of me and Jacoby Ellsbury?
No. We want to hear. We got to hear your expert angle.
I'll tell you who I like. How about I tell you who I like?
Absolutely. Please do.
CC Sabathia is a true inspiration to me because I also eat a lot of Cap'n Crunch.
Absolutely.
He's a hero. Both CC and the captain. You go into any bodega in my neighborhood, framed photo of the captain right there behind the register.
There you go. Would you throw at someone? To sort of send a message if you knew it would cost you $500,000 like CC Sabathia did last year.
It's a lot of money.
Getting pulled on.
If I'm making CC Sabathia's salary, I got a lot of things going for me well in life. I think I'd throw at the guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it maliciously. I'm going to do it so it looks like an accident, of course.
Okay, it was premeditated, but you're meditating enough.
Are you maybe going to get your cousin of a, you know a guy? Do you know a guy?
I know a lot of guys who know a guy who will throw an
A lot of people named Mike, and apparently a lot of people named John Andreoli, so.
Yeah, I'll get all five of the Andreoli boys. They're going to throw a lot worse things than a baseball at you, I'll tell you that right now. I also, I like Tanaka, and I was very skeptical, given the Yankees' history with Japanese pitchers. I mean, we all remember Hideki Arabu, may he rest in peace, Kayagawa. I mean, those guys blew up like the World Trade. Maybe never forget the tragic events of that day as well. But they were terrible. So I'm thinking, oh, here we go again with this guy Tanaka. But now he comes in, he's doing fine. I like him.
He's a good pitcher.
He sold me.
Do you think, who do you think is the, you've got a, it's a tough situation. You know, the, obviously the Yankees and Red Sox, that's the, that's sort of the rivalry that's led baseball for, you know, decades. I mean, you know, do you feel like, you know, after last year, the Yankees have something they need to sort of prove?
We do have a lot to prove, yeah.
You know, I mean, they, you know, obviously, the, I mean, this century, the Red Sox have been outdoing the Yankees. You know,
that's true.
It's surprising. I mean, what do you, you know, is there another piece they need to add? Do they just need better health? What do you, you're in the GM shoes. You're in Brian Cashman's shoes. What are you doing?
Expensive shoes.
They're good looking shoes. They're well shined.
You're asking me what I would do to fix the roster.
Yeah, you know, what's your game plan for
we gotta project? We gotta make a lot of trades. I mean, they're gonna make trades every year. I think that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what. I mean, they got so many injuries that I want to see the team back at full strength before they do anything drastic. Of course. But I like the bullpen. The bullpen is very, very solid. I think the issues come with these guys who don't know how to hit, and they're playing every single day. Yeah. Like Brett Gardner, my man, I love you. Maybe retire. That's all I'm saying. If he, that would be the biggest move of his career. If he willingly retired so we could get a better outfielder out there, I would be very okay with that.
That's not a bad call.
The problem, like I said, is I don't even know who these guys are, or if they're good, if they're not good. It feels like it's 14 Shelly Duncans on the roster all of a sudden. And that was not a good era. I don't like that. But the thing you said about the Red Sox, that's very true. I got two sons, okay? I got Jabba and David Wells.
Yeah.
And they, in their lifetime.
Sorry. Is David Wells his first name?
First name David, last name Guy, middle name Wells. And then it's Jabba Chamberlain. I never really trusted that guy. That is his full name. But in their lifetime, the Red Sox have been kicking the shit out of us, and I cannot have that. So that's why I need them to figure this shit out here this season. The Red Sox, too, they got that kid, Andrew Benintendi. That's the most Italian guy in the league, and he's in Boston. That should not be allowed. That guy has to be in New York by yesterday.
Is there anyone on the Mariners roster that you would like the Yankees to trade for to kind of help put them over? Because Boston's had their struggles this year. They look assailable. But
that's not a word. I've never heard that word in my entire life.
But the Yankees are struggling with so much poor injury luck. Is there I mean, the Mariners are in a rebuilding year.
Who's the guy with the parrot on his arm? I like that guy.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Give me that guy. I like him. I mean, Yankee Stadium is a glorified Little League stadium. He could hit 95 home runs with his eyes closed.
Yeah. I think that was a great fit. I mean,
I think he's
a
good Luke fit as well. Voigt. I do like Luke Voigt. He'd never heard of buttons in his entire life. His whole shit is hanging out every at bat. So I like that.
Got banned from Instagram all that nipple.
Yes, he was banned from Instagram. I saw that. That was a big news in the
who
in page six.
Who's DHing for the Yankees these days?
We got Luke Voigt. He plays first base a lot of the time. I think at the beginning of the year we had Stanton, Judge, Hicks, and they would sort of rotate. I think Stanton was mostly the DH. But now I think it's like a Talkman. I think he's made up.
That's not a person.
I think the Giants just gave, the New York Giants just gave him to us and said, here, you can have Mike Talkman. He's on your team now.
Backup left guard.
All right, Mike Talkman it is. I mean, maybe Kristaps Porzingis might be on the team now. I don't know. He is on the Mavericks, but I think the Mavericks traded him to the Yankees.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, get him out of there.
No, I don't know. I don't know these guys. I believe it is Talkman, though, so I would rather have Parrot guy for sure. Okay. You go out in Times Square with the Parrot, people love that.
Final question. What is your prediction for this upcoming series?
The 28th ring added to our 28th finger.
Okay, congrats.
Why would I have any other prediction?
I asked about the series.
Oh. Oh, this series against the Mariners. You're asking me about the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they are probably not something that exists to you.
I know.
What are three things that you know of that are about the city of Seattle?
Yeah, what do you know about Seattle?
About the city of Seattle?
Yeah.
You got the bald guy who has got a lot of money. What's his name? The guy from Amazon.
Okay, Bezos. I think you meant Jay Buhner.
Jay Buhner was also there. I liked him, too.
This is also technically true.
Former Yankee. I know that. I know they drink a lot of coffee, and they're smoking a lot of drugs. Those are two things that I am very familiar with. So I could get into that.
Okay.
What else do I know about Seattle? I know it's not for me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, what do you think this series?
Yankees in four.
Okay.
This is the playoffs,
right?
Yankees in four.
No, I think, I mean, we got Sabathia. He's going game one against your man's Felix, who is not good. I'm sorry to say it. A hush has fallen over the room as these people deal with fate immediately in their face.
CC is probably better than Felix.
Yeah, he's shown some life recently, but it's early.
I think if anyone
is pitching to a roster of people who are potentially made up, so.
That's what I'm saying. But I still have faith in my guys. I mean, it's the New York Yankees. Like I said, 27 reasons not to be worried. I think if the Yankees do lose one, it's going to be to that kid, Marco Gonzalez. I like that kid a lot. He's a tough kid.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad you can make it over here, New York guy.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're very excited for the next New York, next Yankee series.
One thing you never do, do not talk to me about the Mets. If they play the Mets, I will be not on this podcast.
Okay, perfect.
The New York Yankees.
Is there anything you want to plug yourself?
Absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at 27 Rings. That's Rings with 27 Z's at the end. 27 R-I-N-G Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z Z.
All right, I think
27 of them. You know what it is. New York all day. Yankees in four.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right, Kate. I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, we've got to do like some serious sage burning of the studio now. Which by studio I mean your apartment. Which smells.
Did you mean to burn down my apartment?
Yeah, we are never going to get this Michelob stink out of here.
I mean, it just has gotten everywhere. Like, it didn't help when he started rolling around on each couch. That was unfortunate.
Nope, the couch has got to get. We just got to burn the whole place
down. It's wild that he flew out here. To talk to us. Like, you seem like he could have just. Wait. Like, we could have done it remotely.
Wait, is that him? Is he running naked around Greenland?
Oh, God damn it. Yeah.
All right, we got to go. We got to go take care of this. This is on our heads. Thank you so much for everyone who asked us questions, and we will talk to you next week. Bye. Everybody know me, who's somebody to know. Watch me mind my business while I'm counting my dough. Stay away from sages who will clown me before. On the road to riches, they gon' step on your toes. Sammy told me that a change don't come. I'm not going if my gang won't come. If you see me pull that thing, don't run.